Let's pray, may we? We rejoice, our Father, that in the fullness of time you sent your Son, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father right now. Having finished and accomplished his work on earth, he now has ascended and is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us this very moment. Interceding that we would know the truth, interceding that doctrines, interceding that the truth in the scripture would be made alive and active in our being, interceding that when the time comes, we go and appear before God, things would be right between us and one another and you. And to that end, we commit this study this day, that our minds would be opened as we open the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Within the past 10 days, several things have occurred that lead me to ask this question, which is the basis for our message today. After I die, what? After I die, what? And the answer is J-U-D-G-M-E-N-T, judgment. After we die, there is judgment. And for this study's basis, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews. And as we turn to Hebrews chapter 9, we'll look at verse 27. Hebrews 9, 27. Some interesting things here we are reminded of. And for some of you, this will be repetition. For some of you, it'll be a new study. But for us all, it would remind us that as we certainly approach the serving of the Lord's Supper in a few moments, we've got to align ourselves with he who has come, Jesus. And so we read in Hebrews 9:27, everyone must die once, and after that be judged by God. Very simple. Everybody must die once, and after that be judged by God. Not just some people, not just bad people, not just good people, but it says everybody must die one time, and after that the judgment. Or as the King James puts it, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. The word appointed, in other words, the word appointed means to lay up in store. It means to have in reserve. And so it is laid up in reserve for each one of us, the fact that we're going to die. It is appointed unto man once to die. The law is going to hold for all men until the time of the rapture, when the living who are to be translated will not die. All who live during that time of the millennium and who do not rebel against God will be permitted to live on the new earth forever and ever without dying. But for we who are alive now, the scripture says it's appointed. In other words, it's laid up and there's no getting around it. We're going to have to die. And for some people, this strikes terror in their heart. They don't want to even think about death. I have a lady who doesn't have a will. I have a friend who is a lady who does not have a will. And several people have said, make your will, make your will. And she says, no, 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 because if I make my will, I'm going to die. I'm afraid of making my will. But it is appointed once to die, and after that, the judgment. When you die, death ends the probation that we are living under. Death ends the probation that we are living under right now. And there's no second chance to be saved. If you're saved, when you die, you go to heaven to await the resurrection of the body. But we're talking about the judgment. In other words, when a person dies, can they just be translated immediately into the heavenly choir? If a person has been a Christian but who has done a lot of raunchy things, could they just close eyes now, open eyes and be in heaven, and just right away start rejoicing and be very happy? No, something has got to happen. And what happens is the judgment. Romans 14:10, all stand before the judgment seat. Now this is the same thing that the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 9:27. All appointed to death, after that the judgment. So when 1 Peter 4:17 says God is going to punish the righteous when they sin, he will surely punish the wicked when they sin. And our purpose in the study is not to give too much attention to the wicked aspect of the judgment, but we do have to make mention of it. Our purpose is, what am I going to be judged about? When I die, I will go into the presence of God, which I know I will do because of my faith and because of what the Word says, but then I'm going to have to be judged. Will I appear before the judge, the great white throne? I don't think so. But let me quickly say that when we talk about the judgment, some people say there's only one judgment. Some say there are several judgments. I don't know. Scripture can you have scripture to support both views, whether there's a general or whether there are several. But this we do know. The righteous are going to be judged by God. So when I get to God's presence, I know I'm going to go straight to his presence. I'm not going to go down to paradise, which was located in the center of the earth, because the Bible says in Ephesians that when Jesus died, his body went to the grave, but his soul went to that place holding captive those people who had died. It's appointed unto man once to die. Jesus went down there, and the scripture says that he brought them forth. He led the captives out. Turn with me, if you will, to that passage in Ephesians. It is in Ephesians. And I'll get the scripture for you in just a moment here. 4:8-10. Ephesians 4:8-10. Now the scripture says, which I'm reading, this is the scripture that I'm reading. When he went up to the very heights, he took many captives with them. He gave gifts to mankind. Now what does it mean, he went up? What does that mean? Well, it means that first he went down. He came down to the lowest depths of the earth. So the one who came down is the same one who went up above and beyond the heavens to fill the whole universe with his presence. So the people who were, we call them the believers, who died before the crucifixion event, went to the presence of God. They went to paradise, and you know the story, paradise and Gehenna, and it was separated by the gulf. Those in one section could not go to the other section, or vice versa. Jesus went down to that place, drew them all out, led captives, train of them, all the way up to the heavens to be in the very presence of God. Now when we die, we don't go to that place waiting. We go to the very presence of God. And there, in his presence, we will stay until the resurrection. And at the resurrection of our bodies, then we will have the judgment. Jesus now has the keys of Hades and death. We're talking about, in passing, the people who do not believe, who have gone on, who have died. It says in Matthew 25 that God has prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. And in Matthew 5:21-22, Jesus speaks of the dangers of the judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, they that know not God, who have put no effort even to try to know God, are going to be judged accordingly, and they will die in their sins. The scripture says that the lost sinners will appear before the great white throne 1,000 years later, after we who have been resurrected, and then they will have to pay the consequences. They will be judged. We easily live in a world that we know accounts and balances. We know if you do this that is wrong, you will be reprimanded. You know that if you run a red light and you get caught, you will have to pay the consequences. Well, according to God's system in the Word, that if you run the red light, if you run the red light of God, and if you're not caught now, you will be caught then because of the judgment. Now, this is something pretty heavy for us all as Christians to realize, that in a few minutes when we look at some of the things we're going to be judged about, we might want to make some changes before we come to the table. We may want to make some changes because, in a sense, we are being judged now, because our own sins can condemn us. Or a Christian who is in deep contemplation of God things, may judge himself according to this, the mirror of the word. But there's going to come a time specifically when we die, that believers will be judged. I repeat, believers will be judged. It is false doctrine to say that Christians who die will never have to worry about a judgment. For I read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, some very important words. Ecclesiastes 12, 14. It says very clearly right here in black and white, God is going to judge everything we do. God's going to judge everything that I do. Everything I have done since I got up this morning, God is going to judge. It says here, whether good or bad. Furthermore, even the things that were done in secret, he is going to judge. God is going to judge everything we do. This is not the lost people we're talking about. We're talking about now we who are the believers. God is going to judge. He's going to bring every work into judgment. The good works, well, that's bad too. And the bad works, that's all right. He's going to judge those too. God is going to bring everything we do into judgment. Now, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then there's going to be a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. For God has already placed Jesus Christ as the one and only foundation, and no other foundation can be laid. Some will use gold or silver or precious stones in building on the foundation. Others will use wood or grass or straw. The quality of each person's work will be seen when the day of Christ exposes it. For on that day, fire will reveal everyone's work. We're talking about the Christian standing before God in judgment now. The fire will test it and show its real quality. If what was built on the foundation survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, then he will lose it. But he himself will be saved as if he had escaped through fire. This tells us that on that day of the Lord, what we have done is going to have to pass through the test. It's going to be a test. And what that actually equates to is judgment. While we're in 1 Corinthians, look at chapter 4, verse 5. It says, so you should not pass judgment on anyone before the right time comes. Final judgment, it says, final judgment must wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light the dark secrets and expose the hidden mysteries or purposes of people's minds. And then everyone will receive from God the praise he deserves. The praise that is deserved you when you're in, we'll call it heaven, is going to first wait until it passes through the judgment. And the final judgment must wait until the Lord comes. That is why I say that when you die, you go into the presence of the Lord. Your body has gone to the grave, but you, the real you, is going to be with the Lord to await the resurrection. And so at that first resurrection, when the Lord comes in the air with a shout of victory, then we who are alive will be caught up with those who have gone on. And that is the resurrection. So when Jesus comes, people will be resurrected everywhere, and we will go with them. And where we go, according to the word, as I see it, will be the judgment. Because that judgment comes after the resurrection. It says, after the resurrection, we are so judged. And this scripture says, final judgment must wait until the Lord comes. And then how he does it and where he does it is not my purpose to even speculate. The fact that he will do it is the crucial point. Believers will be judged. Now, we've looked at 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 Corinthians 4. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. I guess what I'm saying is you can't be a Christian and live as the world says and live like the devil and get away with it. It just doesn't compute. If you are a Christian, you are going to be accountable for the things that we're going to look at in a few minutes. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For all of us must appear before Christ to be judged by him. Each one will receive what he deserves according to everything he has done. And there again, here is the phrase, the good or the bad in his bodily life. So we've got this judgment, and I think we know it. I think down deep we realize that we are going to be judged someday, but we don't take it too serious because, after all, I can always think of somebody who does something worse than I do. But then, on the other hand, you can always think of Jesus who does it perfect. The scripture says that everybody must appear before Christ, all of us, and the word is judged. We will be judged. I guess you could look at it this way. The soul is the agent. The body is the instrument. And so the soul living in this body becomes an instrument either to do good or to do bad. Now before we look at specific things that I'm going to be judged about, let's turn to Revelation 2, get some of this scripture behind us and in our memory bank. Revelation 2, 23. The two scriptures we're about to read now are scriptures that have different interpretations, and I'll not even make an interpretation. I'll just read the scripture to you. You make your own. Revelation 2, 23. I will repay each one of you according to what he has done. I will repay each one of you according to what he has done. We could at least say at this point that if there are degrees on earth, they've got to be degrees in heaven. And I believe there are degrees in heaven. I believe that we will find that the things that we have done are bearing fruit that will go into the afterlife in heaven. And here's the scriptures. I will repay each one according to what he has done. Each person according to what he has done. And then Revelation 22, verse 12. Revelation 22, verse 12. Listen, says Jesus. A guy called me on the phone last week, and the first thing he says was, listen, Neil. Well, I thought, well, I planned to. Why do you say that? But that was what his way is. Listen, Neil. And he called me back 2 days later, and he said the same thing. He said, listen, Neil. And so I said, okay, I'm listening. It says, listen, says Jesus. I am coming soon. I will bring my rewards with me to give to each one according to what he has done. I am the first and I am the last. This is the judgment, people. And at the second advent, not the second coming of Jesus, when he comes and we all go together to be with them who have gone on plus Jesus, but at the second advent, when his feet actually touch the earth, at that time, Jesus will judge the living nations. He will separate the two, like in Matthew 25, the separation of the sheep and the separation of the goat. This is judgment day for these nations, these unbelieving nations. But after I die, what am I going to be judged for? Well, first of all, the Lord's going to, I can't say I can see myself there, but I know according to Matthew 18, which I'm turning to right now, I'm going to be judged according to this as a believer. I'm going to be judged. And so, Neil, you might just as well get straightened out right now, that you're going to be judged as your conduct to other people. Chapter 18 of Matthew, there's a parable of the lost sheep. Then there's the words about the brother who sins. Then we have the binding and the loosening. And then we have the parable of the unforgiving servant. He concludes the chapter by saying, this is how my Father in heaven will treat every one of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Forgiveness. Excuse me. Forgiveness. I will be judged, first of all, on my conduct to other people. Secondly, I'm going to be judged according to carnal traits that I have exhibited while living in this, we'll call it an instrument, or the brown bag, or the earth suit. Maybe you could turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, because I want to read several scriptures here. Colossians chapter 3 talks about the old and the new kind of a life. If you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on the things that are in heaven, where Christ sits on the throne at the right side of God. We made mention of this earlier in the service. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here. For you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is Christ. And when he appears, then you too will appear with him and share his glory. Paul is saying here, the carnal traits that we are involved in have got to be not of this world, but they've got to be of God. Keep your mind fixed on things above, not on earth. And so I will be judged when I stand before God, and I will not be able to make any excuses. You know, people come up to me, and they come up to you, and they'll tell you this or that. It's sort of like accusing you. And immediately you want to defend yourself, and maybe you have a good reason for that. But when we get to heaven, there's no way. We are standing as if naked before God. God says, how did you conduct yourself with other people? And secondly, what about keeping your eyes on things of the earth or up here in heaven? Keep your minds fixed on things here, not on things on earth, because we will, according to God, be judged by these carnal traits. And then in Matthew chapter 12, it tells me I'm going to be judged by the words that I say, not only as a pastor and speaking to you, but when I'm home as a husband or functioning even as a son with my father. I'm going to be judged by the words that I say. Now, all of us use words. And God says that when we are having, after we have the resurrection, we appear before the judgment, and he will judge us according to our words. Look at Matthew 12, 33 following. To have good fruit, you must have a healthy tree. If you have a poor tree, you'll have bad fruit. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it bears. He says, you snakes, how can you say good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good person brings good things out of the treasure of good things. A bad person brings bad things out of his treasure of bad things. You can be sure that on the judgment day, Jesus says, you can be sure on the judgment day, everyone will have to give account of every useless word he has ever spoken. And it says, your words will be used to judge you, to declare you innocent or guilty. I do not believe that you have to stand before God to find out if you're Christian or not. I believe that when you die, that is automatically placed in effect, and those that are righteous, those who have believed in the Lord, will go with him. Those who have not have their fate sealed and will go to Hades, the place awaiting the damnation of their soul, ultimately in hell. So I don't think we have to be judged by our word in that we have professed with our mouth the Lord Jesus. I think further, though, if you wanted to believe that, you could. But it does say your words will be used to judge you. He's just talked about living in this body that has a treasure of bad things or a treasure of good things. And when you are bumped up against, you put out good from the good treasure, or you put out bad from the bad treasure. And Jesus says, you can be sure that on judgment day, everyone, again, will have to give account of every useless word he has spoken. Three things. There are things that I do that affect other people that I'm going to be judged. I'm just going to list these things in passing and let them sort of soak in. Because you can be sure, according to the word of God, that when you stand before God, you will be judged on the things that affect other people. Namely, slander, quarrels, dishonesty, folly or foolishness, broken promises, wrong dealings, all supported with scripture from God's word, things that affect other people that we're going to have to stand before God in judgment. I repeat them. They affect other people. Slander, quarrels, idle words, dishonesty, foolishness, broken promises, and wrong dealings. These are things that affect other people. But we also would have to stand before God and be judged against the things that affect themselves. Not other people, but things that affect themselves. Namely, negative opportunities, talents that have been wasted, loose living, and just a lack of spirituality. These things we're going to be judged for, and they are things that affect themselves. And then thirdly, things that affect God. We're going to have to be judged according to the things that we did or didn't do. Things that we did or didn't do that affect God. For example, refusing to walk in the light, disobedience, a rejection of God things, failure to cooperate, failure to yield to the Spirit of God. These are things that affect God. And when I stand up there, God is going to just have it right there. I have no defense except the blood of Jesus. And I am judged according to these things. So the question was asked me recently, Pastor, after death, what? And the answer is, well, you go into the presence of God, but after death, there's the judgment. Because the writer of Hebrews says, it's appointed. Oh, it is right there. It's laid up. It's in reserve by divine decree. Once to die, and after that, the judgment. Praise God, you're living. Praise God, all of us are alive right now. And wherever you're listening to me, you're breathing. You're breathing. And so you have opportunity to examine yourself before we at this place partake of the Lord's Supper. We would say, God, there are things that we can change right now. There are things that we can confess right now. Things that we can make amends to right now so that things are changed. As I stand before God, I'll not have to worry about this or that particular thing. So why don't you join me right now as we just bow before God. We just bow before His presence. And I want you to do something very special. I want you to walk through the streets of your mind of last week. Maybe it was on Tuesday, Monday, Thursday, or Wednesday, maybe Friday, Saturday. And Father, I'm asking that the Holy Spirit right now resurrect in our minds areas of our life, things that we did, things that we said, things that we actually were, in relationship to ourself, you, and one another, meaning spouse, meaning children, meaning church, others meaning business associates, work, others meaning neighbors. And as the Spirit of God prompts you, reminds you of something you said or did, if you have not already done it, then say, Lord, I bring it to the altar right now, and I ask for forgiveness. My conscience right now judges me. And I want to come to the table that has been prepared by you, Father, of communion, so that I would not drink damnation to my body or eat damnation to my body. I would confess and ask for forgiveness. Praise you, Lord Jesus, that all one has to do is just to ask. And you're so eager to forgive and even forget. So, Father, we accept your invitation to sit at your table and hold that which is the symbol of the forgiveness of our sins, the things that we have done that are wrong, so that we can go from this place, the redeemed of the Lord, cleansed from our sin. And as Jesus told the woman, go and sin no more, we would go from this place without the desire to habitually sin more. In Jesus' name, amen.